What's up, Packers fans? Camille Davis and Aaron Nagler coming to you with another edition of Carry the G in MKE. Camille, the Packers beat the crap out of the Cowboys. How you doing now you've had a day to kind of marinate and enjoy the fact that we've once again watched the Cowboys collapse under the weight of the mighty Green Bay Packers?
How am I doing after that showing that the Packers just had against the Cowboys? Mm-hmm. Listen, Aaron. I normally try to be very logical and I try to, you know, think things through, but just give me a moment to answer how I'm truly feeling. As the great philosopher Jair Alexander said, the pack is back. Like, that's how I'm feeling. Like, the Packers went into Dallas, a team that people were like, oh, this is the year. I mean, they say that every year, but this was the real year for Dallas. And the Packers came in, got the ball, immediately went down the field and scored and set the tone for a very enjoyable day.
Were you surprised by that? Because we had seen Matt take the ball against the Lions and Chiefs earlier in the season and then kind of gone back to that, okay, we want to defer, get the ball in the second half, which I understand. I understand kind of a case for both sides of that, right? But the fact that he seemed to recognize the moment and the team he was facing, the environment they were in, was that a surprise to you?
Not necessarily surprised. It was one of those things where I was like, oh, we're going today. Like, it showed to me, like, we're going to be aggressive from the jump. We are not here to play any games, try to double up. Like, we know that Dallas is a team that likes to get out with the lead and then run from there. So for Matt LaFleur to be like, you know what? No, we're going to get the ball here. We're going to set the tone and we're going to go from here instead. I love the way that he wanted to dictate the game from the opening coin toss there and saying, like, we want the ball. And Packers put up points, and with the way this offense has been playing, that's something I was very happy to see.
What I loved is not just getting on the front foot, but then, I mean, you mentioned Jair, that takeaway so early in the game to get up two scores and really take control. I mean, say what you want about Jair. He's certainly had an up and down year, clearly frustrated by some of these injuries, what have you. But man, big time player making a big time play in a huge moment. I mean, that sets the tone. Even more so, I think, than going down in that opening drive, because look, they could just as easily march back down, tie up the score, and then, you know, things go from there. Instead, Jair taking that ball away and setting up his offense in a premium position. That's, to me, I'm not going to say the play of the game, because that's probably the Savage interception, but it's such a monster potential momentum shift so early in the contest. I mean, you got to give Jair major props there.
Big swing play, and Ja came in the game playing hurt. Like you mentioned, it's been a strange year around Ja and just the injuries that he's had, the narratives around him from the fan base, from some media members, all the way to the suspension that happened where he just decided to make himself captain. So hearing the team talk about the situation saying, hey, all this is going to continue to make us stronger. It's going to make us stronger. And even outside of Ja, that's what you've heard around this team all throughout this season. Like, hey, what we're going through, we're going to come out of this on the other side. And Josh showed that full force in this game on Sunday until he got hurt again, which was super unfortunate to see. Like, him toughing it out, especially, I thought it was just like, this is poetic that he had this interception, given the fact that people were wondering about his levels of toughness, quote unquote, because he didn't want to play through the shoulder injury earlier in the season. And now here he is on a bum ankle, gets a big interception that helps swing the game for the Packers early, and then he gets hurt again. So you're already knowing, like, yeah, he was out here on one ankle and he was still able to make something happen. Like, I hope that this performance today, to those people who were doubting Ja earlier in the season about the shoulder injury, like, players know their bodies and what they can and can't force. And I just hope that they take some of that back, like, have some respect. Yeah, like, just admit on that one, like, you know what? I was wrong to say, like, this, he should have been out here playing. Like, players know their bodies, and he already showed that if he can go through the injury, he will. So that was one of my takeaways from it. And I love that he was able to make an impact play before the injury got him back out the game.
I loved how physical he was at the line of scrimmage with the wide receivers in general, even post-play sometimes with the shove of CeeDee Lamb. But that play in particular, he's so physical. I loved on the broadcast, they're like, well, that's, I don't know, borderline. Let's talk to the rules expert. It's like, that's, you know, you have every right to the football as a defender. And it does feel in this Joe Barry defense, sometimes the defenders, it feels like they forget that sometimes. But to see Ja drive on it and know, look, I have the right to get through you to get this football. And that's what he did. I absolutely loved his physical style, especially to your point, in a year where people have kind of questioned his toughness. I've seen so much kind of on Twitter in games about, oh, he's ducking that hit because of the shoulder, or he's not as physical against the run as he used to be. Man, he's physical as hell on that play. And throughout that game, you absolutely love to see it. I just love him as a player. I
do too. And one thing too, before we move on off of job, that I love seeing from him was his communication. Like, he was talking a lot on defense. And that's something, I think, an area of growth that we've seen in Ja's game. And I just love to see how he was out there commanding his defense, because you think of the times earlier in the season when we did have a lot of defensive breakdowns, you were seeing guys still trying to figure out what they were doing as the ball is getting snapped. And to see Ja pre-snap having communication with the other guys, like, hey, I'm here, or you're switching here, because we know what Dallas likes to do with those slants and the trios and the bunches. So, like, the communication was super important. And I love to see that Ja was a positive contributor to communication for the Packers defense.
That is a great point, because you are 100% spot on with the idea, especially against this opponent.
Yep.
And some of the tape study, you got to think they did all week long. I mean, I had to have contributed somewhat to that Savage interception as far as what they like to do in certain situations, knowing that they're going to try and motion Lamb across and hit him on that slant. But yeah, Jair was very talkative all game long pre-snap, making sure everybody was on the same page with him. I mean, he's a leader. We forget about this because he's been gone for so much of the season, but he is a leader on that team. There's zero doubt about that. Switching it back over to the offensive side of the ball, Jordan Love. I mean, what more can you say about this kid at this point? He is playing the best ball that I think we've seen at the position all across the league. I mean, that you cannot point to a performance for me. I mean, I think it's CJ Stroud and Jordan Love, like, own that weekend as far as quarterback performances, both of them in their first playoff games ever.
Yeah.
That was such an impressive performance. And I thought they would score points, right? I thought they'd move the ball. But I also thought Dan Quinn would get his. But Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love absolutely ate Dan Quinn up all afternoon.
Over and over and over again. Like, as I mentioned, I thought that the Packers were going to win this game. Like, I came and I was like, hey, I think Green Bay can beat Dallas in Dallas. I did not expect it to become this big of a rout this early. But part of it with Jordan Love's success is the fact that, one, we had Aaron Jones out there, and we know what Aaron Jones can do in Dallas. Aaron Jones has been on a hot streak as it is, like four consecutive games now at this point, over 100 yards. Packers were able to lean on the run game, the play action game. And again, the growth of our tight ends also helps, because we saw so much 12 personnel in this game. And I think that also helped further confuse Dallas, where they're like, okay, are they going to keep running it down our throats? And it's like, nope, we're going to operate out of this, do some strange, interesting things out of this. Like, Jordan Love only had to throw, what, 21 passes in the entire game? 21 passes.
I'll take it.
For an entire game. And the man was dealing, because when he did have to throw one, I don't know what was going on defensively for Dallas throughout a lot of that game. And I don't know. Actually, I do know part of it. Christian Watson.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yes, 1,000%. His presence.
Yep.
It's on the tape. You see how petrified they were. And I get it, considering what he did to them last year. And the way he had kind of come alive against Detroit and the Chiefs. Like, I understand that. Like, the idea that you do not want this guy to blow your doors off. Well, he didn't, but everyone else did, thanks to him, because of the attention. There's zero doubt about that.
Yeah, the attention. And I mean, that goes to show about this wide receiver core again, which is part of what makes Jordan Love so fun to watch, because he's just going through progressions and he's like, okay, if you're open, here comes the ball. And today it happened to be, or not today, but this weekend it happened to be Romeo Doubs, where it's like, you, sir,
you are open.
Like, you are open, sir. The ball is coming your way. And the fact that the Packers put up 41 points offensively, not including the 7 the defense gave, without Reed and Watson really being a heavy part of the offense.
Crazy. Your two best playmakers at the receiver position get one touch. I mean, Watson had one catch for 9 yards. Reed was shut out, and they still score 41 on offense. That's unbelievable. two, it speaks to, obviously, Jordan Love, as you're saying, throwing to the open man, not having favorites, not dealing with anything other than where's the open guy. And then you got to give Matt LaFleur all the props in the world. This is 2 years in a row now where he has utilized the running game to neutralize the pass rush of the Cowboys. I mean, all week we heard about Parsons and how he was going to wreck shop up front. And look, he came close a couple of times. He definitely tried, came close to affecting the quarterback. But man, Jordan Love, he's too good. He knows where the guy is. He knows how to get the ball out. And for the most part, other than those handful of plays where Parsons got to push him late, they took care of him. They either ran at him or had a plan for him that completely took him out of the game. I mean, that's impressive. That, again, that's 2 years in a row for LaFleur and his staff taking one of the best pass rushers, especially in his building, and completely neutralizing him.
They did. And shout out to the offensive line as well, because they were picking up their blocks very, very well for the most part throughout the day. And they had some tough assignments, because outside of Micah Parsons, you also have Dexter Lawrence as well, where this is another monster that you have to account for on this defense. And they just, as a team effort, we talked about this earlier in the season when things weren't working well. And it's like, well, what's the problem? And it was like, well, there's a few things that are the problem. Like, football is so complementary that if one piece isn't working right, then everything else starts to wobble and then it might fall and break. And with this performance, it was complementary football all the way around. And the offense, it was just clicking so well. And that's what we've been seeing from this offense over the last few weeks, where the line is doing their job, the tight ends are picking up their protections, they're running the right routes, the receivers are running the right routes, they're in the right places, they're not dropping passes as frequently. Jordan Love isn't looking just to get the deep ball or the home run play every time. He's taking what the defense is giving him and he's completing it accurately. Like, I've seen some people like, why is he always jumping off his back foot? And it's like, well, sometimes that pressure's in his face and he's figuring out a way to get himself
the ball there. Yep, exactly.
Like, the way that he stands in the pocket, knowing he's going to get blasted, that's impressive, because some quarterbacks, you put that pressure in their face and they're going to wilt.
They make business decisions. You see it all the time, you know, and your point is spot on. He's finding ways to either, you know, mitigate the hit he's about to take, or he is going to find a way to deliver the football. And I think from that whole game, I only remember two throws that were off, like truly off. One, but actually both of them were to Reed. One was on a third down, which would have been called back anyway because of an offensive holding. And one was a slant play to the right where he's behind Reed on that throw. But other than that, he was absolutely spot on. And it is funny to watch considering where he was earlier in the season and how there was a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of gnashing of teeth from Packers fans about the completion percentage, it was so low and some of these throws are off and blah blah blah. Interesting when you let a guy play and develop, you know, with his wide receivers, how that completion percentage increases, but so does his accuracy. I mean, Rodgers always said you throw from your feet, and his feet have gotten better. Now, yes, sometimes he does have to throw off his back foot just to, you know, avoid some pressure or what have you. But what's funny is some of those plays are so big. I mean, look no further than the Wicks TD. Oh, I mean, he's got a free runner and he's double clutching to make sure he clears the coverage and then is falling back, but he knows what his arm can do. He still gets the ball there. I don't care if he's falling backwards, if the ball ends up in the end zone in our arms, you know, that's what's been so impressive to me is considering where he was, say, in October, right? And now you look and see what he's doing with such confidence. And his confidence has now like kind of seeped through the television to me, because there's never a moment where he's doing that, like drifting back in the pocket, flicking it, whatever, where I'm like, oh God, where's it going? I'm always sitting here going, yep, that's going to be somebody. It's going to be open. They're going to score, like, or a first down, or it's going to be a completion. I never like have my heart in my throat the way I did, especially at the end of Brett Favre's tenure. Maybe towards the end last year with Rodgers, you know, this year, I'm just like, yeah, no, sling it, buddy. I have full confidence. And that's just a weird feeling to be back in that zone so soon.
That's the piece. Like, we were having conversations and I was like, man, especially like during the rough stretch, because you could see like the outline of what this team could be. You could see the flashes and you were like, wow, there's some talent here. And I kept thinking, I can't wait until next year to see this team put it together. And they started putting it together at the end of the season, where you're like, okay. Like, I'm already starting to see what I thought I was going to be seeing next year, which is part of why the Dallas game, I didn't go into it like with pressure. Like, I know you were getting irritated with hearing house money over and
house
over.
house money. Yeah.
But listen, yeah.
I was house money. I know.
It was. And I think the connotation of house money, people always think like, oh, that means like you're just happy to be here. But really right. what it is, like if you gave me $100 and was like, hey, go to Pottawatomie and go gamble. I am going to put $100 on black at the roulette table and not think twice about it. Like, I'm just going to do it. If that was my $100, I probably wouldn't do that. Maybe 20, something like that. But if it's someone else's, if it's house money, I'm pushing it all in. We're going hard. There's nothing to lose. And that's how I think this Packers team is using that quote unquote house money term with their play. Just go out here and do everything you can. Hit them in the mouth. You have nothing to lose.
It's like Wesley Snipes said, always bet on black. I love it. How about the special teams? Because I know fans are like so supremely frustrated with Carlson missing that kick, the extra point. But look, he had a bunch of other ones that he made. Yeah. Like, I understand that one miss is always frustrating, but people just got to continue to be patient. They're clearly not going to do anything with him this year. I think they might bring in competition for him in the summer. But I want to look at Waylon, the punter. Three punts, but every one of them inside the 10. You're talking about complimentary football. Guess what the best possible way to help your defense is when you're punting away? Don't kick it into the end zone, making sure it's inside the 10, and coverage units downing and making sure that they can't have a big return to kind of flip field position. That was, to me, a bit of a hidden part of this game because it's not like those are huge plays, but they certainly contribute to a defense that did a pretty good job of clamping down on the Cowboys especially the first half.
I mean, think about the Jair pick. Like, part of the reason that the Packers were able to get it back in such a good field position because that punt had already put Dallas all the way back there.
Complimentary.
So you know what I mean? And I felt like a real nerd during the game because I definitely tweeted out, man, these have been some pretty punts in this game. And that's like...
Yeah.
Like
it's true, though. Who's like, all right? We're all like... delirious with happiness about like the fact that the Packers are stomping the Cowboys, and Camille's out here going, these are some really nice punts.
I'm like, wow, look at the hang time. Look at our pinning these guys. This is impressive. But yeah, like this was a game where special teams on covering the returns, because we know Dallas has some speed when it comes to their return guys. And there were some times where the Packers were closing very quickly on the ball. And I know we're special teams, but that reminded me. Another shout out to the defense, especially in the first half. I saw a lot of hats around the ball. They were tackling against the Cowboys, and that was a big difference because that's a team that can put up a lot of yak really quick. So if you can get them down, like, you're going to put yourself in really good position. So hats to ball, that's, and you saw really on special teams too, even on the return coverage. It's like they were really after it.
That's a really good point. It's something you've heard from Matt quite a few times over his tenure in Green Bay about wanting all hats to the ball, right? He gets asked about what he wants on defense so much because there's so many problems on defense throughout the years. But, you know, he always mentions that, like, I want to see all the hats to the ball. And yeah, that's a great point. You saw that in Dallas, especially early on, where, you know, no matter if it is complete and they're going to get theirs, they're a really talented team on offense, you got to make sure you limit the yak. And I think for the most part, they did. And speaking of, I mean, Joe Barry, shout out. Got to give credit where it's due. You know, I understand people were frustrated towards the end when the Cowboys were driving on backups. I mean, it was like a preseason game there by the end. I mean, I was nervous. Don't get me wrong. I ain't dismissing it. But you look back and, you know, it was, 48-16 with 10 minutes left in the game. That's a testament to Joe and the work he and his guys did. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, we're going to remember Nixon's sack, right? And the big pick six. But for me, the real kind of eye-opener was how many times Dak went back. And it wasn't like the Packers were winning up front. They didn't have a very effective pass rush. But there were so many plays where Dak is looking to push the ball down the field, and he just didn't have anything available. You know, and that was a surprise to me because I thought for sure Dallas would be able to push the ball down the field and walk up and down. And I think Mike McCarthy did as well, because you never saw them really get to a short game in any meaningful way. They kept trying to push the ball. It's classic Mike, right? Trying to push the ball down the field. And there just wasn't much available, especially early in the game.
Yeah. a lot of it was like coverage. Like you're watching Dak and you're seeing him like going through progressions. And he's like, I don't really know where I'm going to go with the ball at this point. And they just had to make something happen out of a little bit of nothing at that point. I do want to shout out Kenny Clark though. Like Kenny had some plays up front where like, even though he didn't get the sack or he didn't get the pressure, he was disruptive up front against, as we know, the Cowboys lost the fact they have one of the best offensive lines. And I feel like the Packers defensive line, wow, the number, like not a lot of the sacks, not a lot of pressure on the passes, but like they were able to at least muck up the pocket for Dak a lot of the times where it wasn't clean and he didn't have many lanes to escape. So at the very least, they were able to hold that part together while the secondary did a pretty great job against a very dynamic Dallas offense.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Kenny because I saw somebody on Twitter, because, you know, this is what Twitter is designed to do, is get inside my head and make me mad. But somebody was like, well, you know, next year we got to draft somebody along the D-line. Like, Kenny's overrated. And I'm like, I hate the fact that because he's not like Aaron Donald, fans tend to think he's not effective, right? And to your point, he is beyond effective at creating not only havoc, but just destroying blocking schemes and messing things up for the opponent that doesn't appear on your stat sheet. It's not going to get highlighted on Twitter. It's not going to get on SportsCenter, but he is doing really good work down by down that kind of goes unheralded, doesn't get the headlines, doesn't get much love, but he is doing very, very, very important stuff each and every down that I just wish fans would appreciate a little bit more. Because again, I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's getting like 10 sacks a season, but that doesn't mean he's not effective. You know what
I mean? Absolutely. And this is the game where you need guys to do their job. You've pointed that out multiple times over the course of the season while we've been doing this show, of like, guys have to have lane integrity. Like you have to do your job properly, because even if you don't get a sack or you don't get a pressure, like you are at the very least are containing the quarterback where you want to keep him. So those little things are really important. And if you're not looking for it, like you're not going to notice it. But that's also a piece as to why the Packers defense was able to have success against this Cowboys offense that we've seen put up big points.
No doubt. And the fact that you can't step up as a quarterback is always huge. You know, guys want to step up and get that rush around you. They want to step up to either look to throw or just to run. And they rarely can when Kenny's involved. All right. Looking forward to this 49er game. I tell you what, Camille, house money. Let's go.
It is. Push it all in. Push it. I'm betting all on Green Bay. Like,
all
listen,
on Green Bay. Let's
there's
go.
Nothing to lose here. And Dallas pose some challenges that I think the 49ers can also pose. I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. I felt that way for a while. So this is going to be a challenge for sure, especially because the Packers had some injuries against Dallas. It's a shorter week. They play on Saturday. So, and I saw the defense, they were on the field for like 90 snaps. Like,
correct.
That's a lot of time on the field in one game. So they're going to be tired, but then we lost Kingsley as well. So, you know, that's unfortunate. And this is going to be a game where the Packers are going to have to play a clean game. You're going to have, you cannot get behind. You cannot lose the turnover battle. You're going to have to make your tackles against this team. You want to talk about a yak monster, like,
yikes.
That's what this 49ers team is. And I know people have had comments like, is Brock Purdy really a good quarterback? And he plays well in that system because he's not a guy who's going to make a lot of mistakes. He's going to deliver the ball where it needs to go. And they have dynamic playmakers on that offense from Debo to CMC to Brandon Ayuk to George Kittle. Like, they just have so many weapons. And if you can, if the ball gets in their hands and if you miss in tackles, it's going to be a very, very long day for the Packers defense.
I think it's interesting because you watch the Ravens game when the Ravens went in there, right? And the Ravens have one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best, you know. But the way they muddied the picture for Purdy at times gives me hope, only because I saw what the Packers were able to do in Dallas. You know, the fact that it wasn't extreme. I talked about this with Andy. It's not like they were throwing exotic looks or blitzes at Dak, but they did just enough to kind of change the picture pre-snap to post-snap to make either Dak, you know, kind of second guess himself or flat out throw interceptions. You know, I thought they did a really good job in that regard, in a way they haven't done much of through Barry's tenure. If they can continue that approach. I don't think they're going to be the Ravens or anything like that, but I do think there's a chance there, maybe not to take advantage of Purdy, but to get him second guessing himself. You know, if they can kind of instill that and get that same kind of, seed of doubt in the quarterback's mind, then maybe, who knows, then maybe he throws you one, because he certainly did against the Ravens. On the flip side is where I'm worried. I'm actually, you know, the defense is going to give up points. That's going to happen. The 49ers are too good for that not to happen, right? The flip side is where I'm worried, because we've been so effective the last 3-4 weeks, marching up and down the field, scoring tons of points. In Dallas, you could see them take advantage through the run game. They were really productive, right? And they have been with Aaron Jones over the course of these last 4 games. Man, my whole life is littered with Packers teams going to San Francisco and just being unable to move anybody up front. And I don't see how anything has changed in that regard coming into this matchup. Like, once you get to a point where you're only, you know, hit 1 yard, 2 yard, 1 yard, 2 yard, it's one thing to stick with it in Dallas when other things are working and you can mm-hmm. pop off a run every once in a while. But if that is all you're getting, I think Matt probably starts to, okay, we got to go to the air. And then you're really, really playing with fire, because I still haven't seen us block Bosa ever in the history of his tenure in San Francisco. And once you get into a pass only mode, he's going to wreck shop in a way that is just different than Micah Parsons, because Parsons, they move around. And again, you can be effective against him with the running game and getting him off balance, getting him in the wrong place, what have you. Bosa, you start dropping back, there's no one on the Packers team that can block him one-on-one. No. That is not going to happen. And then you start committing resources. They got plenty of other dudes to wreck you up front. So yeah, that's my true kind of, I'm not going to say worry, but that's my true kind of issue with the Packers offense against this defense that has had what now, 2 weeks to rest.
Yes.
I mean, don't forget, they rested a lot of their frontline guys against the Rams in the final game of the season. Then they have the bye. Now they're coming in fully rested against a team that's, yeah, been hot, but been playing a lot of football. I just got to weather that storm early, but that is the one area of concern if I'm the Packers.
And that is completely fair. For you laid it all out exactly as to why that's a concern. And look, again, we're not going to be favored in this game, understandably so, right? And I've said it before, and this is not just being like, oh, well, I'm happy to be here. But like, this season was a success the moment we realized that Jordan Love was a franchise quarterback. Whatever that moment happened to be for whoever's hearing my voice, at that moment is when this season was successful. And this is a young team. Like, sometimes when you're young, you just don't know any better. Like, you're like, why can't it be us? Why can't it be us? And that's why this week is going to be so fun. Like, the slate of games for the divisional round, they're outstanding. Like,
let's go.
They're outstanding because you have the Packers and the 49ers. And over the recent years here, we know how Packer 49ers games have gone.
Oh, man, the potential.
Our boys in the green and gold. And it hasn't been great. But listen, it's any given Sunday. Packers will have to play truly like mistake-free football. Like, it has to be your best game of the season up against a collection of talent like what the 49ers are bringing. So is it possible? Yeah, it is possible.
Hell yeah.
Is it likely to some? They're going to say, not really. But hey, listen, I'm a fan. So I'm green and gold. We all in on Green Bay.
I love it. Yeah, we'll be watching. We'll be cheering. It'll be a good time. Camille, let the folks know out there where they can find you on this internet and what you're doing.
Absolutely. Monday through Friday, you can catch me on Locked On Bucks, talking all things Milwaukee.
My Bucks.
Hey,
Dame
listen.
Dame time. Monday. Let's go.
Sunday was a fun one. You get that Packers blowout and then a big Dame game winner. So yeah, Locked On Bucks Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcast, as well as on YouTube. And then on a weekly basis, the Technical Foul podcast, me and three of my closest friends, we cover NFL, NBA, and pro wrestling news. We record live every Tuesday on our YouTube page, Technical Foul, TECKNICAL. We release episodes wherever you get your podcast every Wednesday.
Love it. Camille, thanks so much for the time, and I'll talk to you next week.
For sure.
I love it. Go Pack, go.